tonight, the story of the Good Shepherd. Another one of those wonderful parables of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the strange thing is this. This parable is found in the same chapter as the story of the prodigal son. Luke chapter 15. In fact, in that 15th chapter of Luke's gospel, you have a fourfold parable of the sinner. First of all, you have him as the senseless sinner, the sheep that went astray. Then you have the sinner depicted as the insensible sinner, the piece of coin that was lost, fell on the ground, had to be sought and found. Then in the prodigal son, he's depicted as the sensual sinner that went his own way, wasted his substance in riotous living. And then in the story of the elder brother, you have the sanctimonious sinner. And of all those sinners, I think the sanctimonious sinner is the hardest to reach with the gospel. Because he imagines he's quite all right, and all the while, he's never been saved. Most boys and girls can recite from memory that well-known 23rd Psalm that begins, "The Lord is my shepherd." But you know, girls and boys, it's one thing to recite it from memory, and another to be able to say truthfully, by joyous, happy experience, "The Lord is my shepherd." Only girls and boys that are saved can truthfully say, "The Lord is my shepherd." The Lord is the shepherd, it's true. "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." But it's much better to be able to say, "The Lord is my shepherd. Because I have trusted him as my Savior. He's my Lord. He's my friend. He's the one whom I seek to follow. The one whom I seek to live for. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." Now, in the New Testament, the Lord Jesus is revealed as the shepherd in a threefold way. First of all, he's the what? He's the good shepherd. "I am the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." In the Old Testament, it was the sheep that gave its life for the shepherd. In the Old Testament, if a shepherd sinned, he would bring a sheep or a lamb to the altar. He would lay his hands upon the head of that lamb, confessing his sins. And then he would take a knife and plunge that knife into the heart of that lamb that was bearing his sins. And as that shepherd watched the red blood of that lamb dyeing the earth, crimson red, he could truthfully say, "That lamb has borne my sins. That lamb has taken my place. That lamb has died for me." But in the New Testament, it's the shepherd that dies for the lamb or for the sheep. The Lord Jesus came into this world for that purpose only. "I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." He came to lay down his life. That's why he became man. He became man in order that he might die. He was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. But now he's risen. And now he's what? He's the great shepherd. "Now may the God of peace, that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant." The Lord Jesus, the good shepherd, is now the great shepherd, glorified at God's right hand, because on the cross he did all the work needed for our salvation. And every boy and girl that trusts in him, he keeps by his wonderful power and promises, "I give unto my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." But one day, he's going to come again as the what? As the chief shepherd. Oh, what a day that's going to be, girls and boys. Those of us who are saved anticipate the coming of the Lord Jesus with great delight. When is he going to come? I don't know. No one knows when he's coming. But he's going to come in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And when the Lord Jesus comes again, as he promised, what's going to happen? Every Christian will be caught up to be with him in the clouds. The dead who have died in Christ, their bodies will be raised and reunited to their spirits, already with Christ. Oh joy, oh delight, should we go without dying? My, what a wonderful time that is, awaiting everyone who trusts in Christ. See to it that you can say, "The Lord is my shepherd." In the prophecy of Isaiah, written over 600 years before Christ came, it was said of him, He carries the lambs in his bosom and gently leadeth them that are with young. When I was a boy, we used to love to sing that hymn, safe in the arms of Jesus, safe on his gentle breast. The Lord Jesus loved girls and boys. Do you remember when he was on earth? He took them on his knees and he blessed them. And those disciples of his who tried to drive them away, he rebuked them saying, allow little children to come to me and don't you forbid them. Of such is the kingdom of heaven. Safe in the arms of Jesus. I wonder how many of you girls and boys are safe in the arms of the good shepherd and the great shepherd and the chief shepherd. The Bible tells us the whole world lies in the arms of the wicked one. For many years I lay in the arms of the wicked one, fast asleep in my sins. And the devil knows how to keep people asleep while they lie in his arms. He gives them the pleasures of this world, with all its thrills. Anything to make them forget they are sinners. Make them forget God and Christ, and the fact that one day they must die, and after that they must meet God. Oh, don't let the devil lull you into sleep in his arms. He gently leadeth them that are with young. The Lord Jesus loves to have the fathers and the mothers with him too. There's no more delightful sight this side of heaven than to see a father and mother and each of the children going on the upward, homeward, heavenward way following the good shepherd. The Lord Jesus also said, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. Would you like to be saved? There's only one way. Jesus is the door into salvation. Would you like to have your sins forgiven? Only one way. Through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. Why through this man? Because he's the door. Would you like to have peace with God? Here's how. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Why through him? Because he's the door. Only one way into God's favor, into God's forgiveness, into God's light, into God's joy, into God's home, into God's peace. And that lies through a person, and that person is our Lord Jesus Christ, who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If you girls and boys want to be saved, remember, you must have a dealing with the Lord Jesus. For yourself, each one for himself or herself. You must definitely trust him as your own personal Savior, if ever you would get in on the benefits that Christ made possible at such infinite cost. But sheep are in danger. Danger of what? Danger of thieves and robbers. The Savior said, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. Here's a thief, a robber. He's climbed over the wall into that sheepfold. What's he doing? Stealing one of those sheep. What's that shepherd doing there? He's lying there fast asleep. Do you think that's a picture of the good shepherd? I should say not. Does the Lord Jesus ever go to sleep? Never. He keeps constant watch over his own. He has promised, I give unto my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Here's a sheep being plucked out of the hand or the possession of that shepherd. I wonder who that thief represents. Who do you think? Yes, the devil. And the devil is out to rob you, girls and boys, of all that's best in life. Out to rob you of your time. Out to rob you of your character. Out to rob you of your talents. Out to rob you of your soul, if he possibly can. The devil is a thief and a murderer and a robber. But the Lord Jesus is stronger than he. And if you put your faith and trust in God's beloved Son, then you'll never be plucked out of his possession. He'll keep you and guide you every day. What's this? Why, here is the sheepfold of God's salvation. How many doors lead into that sheepfold? Only one door. Who is that door? The Lord Jesus Christ is that door. How did he become that door? He went to the cross. He went to the cross of Calvary. What did he do on that cross? He allowed God to take all our many, many sins and put them on him. He was willing to bear them. He knew it was the only way by which we poor sinners could ever be brought into God's favor and into the enjoyment of God's salvation. And so the Lord Jesus, as he hung upon that cross, willingly, gladly carried our sins. his own body on that tree. And because he bore our sins, he had to die. Because God had said the wages of sin is death. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. And so when the Lord Jesus, in wonderful love, bore your sins and took your place, he must therefore bear the punishment due to your sins. And so the Savior died. And then, thank God, rose again. And the door of salvation was opened wide for every poor, lost, and guilty, what? Sinner. Lost and guilty sinners are now invited to enter through that wide open door. And what do they receive when they enter that door? Eternal life. That's how to get eternal life. Jesus said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. And thank God there are sinners going in through that open door. I wonder if you are one of those sinners saved by God's grace. I wonder whether there was a time in your life when as a poor, guilty, lost sinner, you took that step of faith, received the Lord Jesus as your Savior, entered through that door, and now you are saved by the grace of God, and you know it because God's word says so. But look at these folks here. Do they want to go in by the door? No. They're too snooty to go in through that door. They think they're very much superior to those poor, lost, and guilty sinners. These folks have a way, each one of his own. Look at those ladders. These men have made those ladders out of their own heads. And they've got enough wood left to make another one, quite easily. There's a ladder of evolution. How are you going to get into God's salvation? Oh, says this man, when I came into this world, I came into it with a divine spark inside me. All I have to do is to cultivate that divine spark until eventually it bursts into a flame and I will evolve or develop into a Christian. Is that how people become Christians? I should say not. You don't have a divine spark in you. No, indeed. God's word describes man by nature as being dead in his trespasses and in his sins. What we need is life, and only the Lord Jesus can give us that life. Here is a ladder of self-righteousness. That man thinks his good character is going to get him into God's salvation. Will it take him there? Never. If your good character could get you into salvation, Christ would never have died on the cross. Christ died on the cross because it was the only way by which we could get into God's salvation. What's this man? Religion. My, this man's had everything that religion can give him. He's gone through all the rites and the forms and the ceremonies of religion. Is that going to get him anywhere? No, indeed. He'll get him nowhere very fast. Good works. Is that going to take that man into God's salvation? No. By grace are ye saved, through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. To him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted unto him for righteousness. Ethical culture. Do you know what that is? Well, you haven't missed anything. Reform. Here's a man that thinks he's going to be saved by turning over a new leaf. Is that going to take him into God's salvation? Never. Morality? Never. Honesty? Never. Now, girls and boys, look at that verse there and tell me what these people are. They're thieves and robbers. They're thieves and robbers. I wonder if there are any thieves and robbers here tonight. Listen. If you are trying to be saved in any other way than through faith in the Lord Jesus and the work he accomplished on the cross for you, God calls you a thief and a robber. He that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. Don't be a thief and a robber any longer. I was a thief and a robber for 21 years until I discovered, thank God, 46 years ago or more, that the Lord Jesus on the cross had done all the work needed for my salvation. There was nothing left for me to do but to take him as my Savior and thank him for loving me and bearing my sins upon that cross. But sheep are not only in danger of thieves and robbers, they're in danger of wolves. If the thief and the robber illustrate Satan, as he most certainly does, then the wolf illustrates false teachers. Teachers who are teaching false doctrines. Jesus said, beware of false teachers. They will come to you dressed in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are destroying wolves. Beware of those men who deny the inspiration and the truth of this book, the Bible. Beware of any man who denies the deity of the Lord Jesus and the necessity for his shed blood upon the cross ere a sinner can be saved. Beware of any person who tells you you can be brought into the kingdom of God in any other way than by being born again. No, indeed. God's word tells us of an eternal heaven and an eternal hell. Beware of false teachers, and thank God for this place where the true gospel of the grace of God is preached each Lord's Day. Now, in those olden days, it was quite customary for several shepherds to pool their flock in one common fold. Maybe 5 or 6 shepherds would put all their sheep in one fold. And during the night, of course, all those sheep would get all mixed up together. Mr. A sheep would get mixed up with Mr. B sheep, and Mr. C sheep, and D and E and F. But in the morning, how were these shepherds to distinguish between their sheep and the other shepherd's sheep? Well, I'll tell you how they did it. Each shepherd in those days knew his own sheep. Each sheep had its own name. Each sheep knew its name and knew the shepherd's voice. And so the shepherd would come to the door of the fold and he would call his own sheep by name and lead them out. He would say, Mary, there. Daisy, see? Bill, see, deep bass voice, Bill. And as each sheep's name was called, he would leave the rest of the sheep and come to the shepherd. And girls and boys, that's how we know whether boys and girls are real Christians or not. My sheep, said the Lord Jesus, hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Every sheep of the Lord Jesus has 2 marks. A mark on the ear, they hear his voice. A mark on the foot, they follow the shepherd. That's how we can prove to our fathers and mothers and to everybody else that we are real Christians. The Lord Jesus also said, when the good shepherd putteth forth his sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep hear his voice and follow him. Here then is the good shepherd going before his sheep, carrying a little lamb in his arms. And you will notice that the mother of this lamb is following the shepherd. Following that shepherd because her lamb is in the arms of the shepherd. Very often when boys and girls get really saved and live for the Lord Jesus in their home by their good behavior and their obedience and now and then their testimony to the saving and keeping power of the Lord Jesus, many a father and mother has been led to see that they too need to know the Lord Jesus as their Savior and have come through their children to put their trust in God's dear Son. And now the shepherd is returning with his sheep. He has led them into the green pastures. He has led them beside the still waters. He has protected them from their enemies. And now he's bringing them safely home. And the sheep, loving the shepherd, hearing his voice, and following him, are being brought back again to the fold. And now we come to the story that our Savior told. He began with these words, what manner of man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost? Here is the good shepherd. He's brought his sheep to the fold, and as they passed under his rod, he's counted them. 97, 98, 99, hello. I took 100 sheep out this morning, and now there's only 99. Maybe I miscounted them. I'll count them again. He counts them again. 99. And now the shepherd knows that one of his sheep has wandered away. As he looks, there yonder he sees the bare, bleak mountains of sin. And gathering over those mountains is a black cloud. A storm is brewing. As he looks, he sees a flash of lightning. He hears the dull rumbling of thunder. And the shepherd knows that if that storm breaks in all its fury upon those mountains, his sheep, wandering there, will be lost to him forever. So what does that shepherd do? Does he say, well, I've got 99 sheep. I'm not going to risk my life on a night like this. Find an erring, strange, silly sheep that hasn't got enough sense to stay with me? No, I'm not going to risk my life. Is that what he said? No, indeed. Why, the Lord Jesus came into this world. What to do? I am come to what? Seek and to save that which is what? that which is lost. Yes. And so the good shepherd prepares to go after that lost sheep. And as he starts out, the hireling comes along. The hireling is a hired hand. He doesn't care for sheep. All he cares for is the money he gets for looking after sheep. The hireling, when he sees a wolf coming, flees. He has no real love for sheep. But the shepherd, he doesn't flee when the wolf comes. No, indeed, he lays down his life for the sheep. And so the hireling inquires, "Where are you going, good shepherd?" "One of my sheep has wandered away. Where yonder? On the bleak, bare mountains of sin. I go to seek and to save that which is lost." "But, good shepherd," he objected, "do you not see that storm brewing? Did you not hear that flash of lightning? Did you not hear that rumble of thunder? Oh, good shepherd, I beg of you, don't venture out on a night like this. See, thou hast here thine 99. Are they not enough for thee?" But the shepherd answered, "This of mine has wandered away from me." You know, that's what Peter tried to do to the Lord Jesus once. When the Savior said, "I'm going to go to Jerusalem, and there I'm going to be crucified, and die and rise again," Peter actually took it upon himself to say, "Pity thyself, Lord, this shall not be so unto thee." And the Savior turned to Peter, for he recognized the voice of Satan through the lips of Peter, and said, "Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of man." And our Savior set his face steadfastly in the direction of Jerusalem, and allowed no one or nothing to turn him aside from the way that led to that hill lone and gray in that land far away. Now I wonder how that sheep got lost. Did that sheep say to itself, "Well, goodbye, fellas, I'm going to get lost," and walk away? Is that how the sheep got lost? No. That's not how girls and boys get lost either. That sheep was feeding on the hillside. Maybe one side was rather steep. And as the sheep looked down, it saw about 10 feet down a little ledge. And on that ledge, what appeared to be much greener grass. You know, distant fields always look greener. And the grass seems sweeter. Well, thought this sheep to itself, "I know I oughtn't to do it. But I'll just do it this once. I'll just jump down there, eat up that grass, and come right back again." And so he jumped down, and sure enough, my, that grass was sweet. After eating up that grass on that ledge, he thought, "Well, time I was getting back." But he looked. A little bit further down the hill was another patch of grass. Even greener. Looked even sweeter. "Well," thought this sheep, "I've come this far. I might as well go a little bit further." So he jumped down and he ate up that grass. He was about to come back. "Oh, there's another ledge. A little bit further away." And so, tempted by greener pastures and sweeter grass, this sheep wandered away, not taking any notice of its direction, until at last the shadows began to lengthen. And now the sheep thought, "My, it's late. It's time I got back again to that shepherd and to the sheep." But when it tried to find its way back, could it find its way? No. Sheep is lost. You see, it's easy to wander away and differently to get back again. That's how girls and boys wander away. That first lie you told. First time you lost your temper, said those nasty things. First time you disobeyed your daddy and your mommy. Now don't forget, that's a sin. You got still further away. First time you allowed those wicked thoughts to enter and remain in your mind, you went further away still. And the fact remains that all us girls and boys by nature have all gone astray from God. Take a good look at that sheep. That sheep is lost, isn't it? Well, if you're not saved, you're that lost sheep. Look at that great big cloud there, that black cloud. That's the wrath of God, revealed from heaven against all sin and against all unrighteousness. God hates sin. And God must, because of his holy character, punish sin. God can by no means clear the guilty. Maybe upon the ear of that terrified sheep there fell the distant roar of a lion. And we're told that the devil, as a roaring lion, goes about seeking whom he may devour. Perhaps it heard the distant howl of a wolf. And that sheep is exposed to a threefold danger. Danger of the storm, a danger of the lion, and a danger of the wolf. And every unsaved boy and girl is in that same danger. Danger of dying in your sins and being lost forever. A danger of an attack on the part of Satan, and a danger of giving your ear to false doctrine which will blind your mind and your heart to the truth of God. Yes, that sheep is lost. Lost, lost. The original of this picture, by the way, is in New York City. Very big picture. Just has one title, one word title, lost. how to huddle frightened sheep in a snowstorm, in a blizzard, on the prairie. There they are. They're lost. Oh, you say, how sad. How much sadder to see girls and boys who are lost through their sins. Look at that verse under it. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord, that is God, hath laid on him, that is Jesus, what? The iniquity of us all. Someone has well said, if you go in at that first all humbly and come out at the last all believingly, you'll be saved. Let's see whether that's true or not. All we like sheep have gone astray. That true of you? Yes, Mr. Gibbs, you say. I've gone astray. I've wandered away. I know it. My heart is black with sin. We've turned everyone to his own way. Each of us goes a different way, but that way is always a way from the Lord Jesus. We've turned everyone to his own way. That's true too. Now, if that first statement is true, and the second statement is true, then the third statement is equally true. And the Lord God hath laid on him, the Lord Jesus, on Calvary's cross, what? The iniquity of us all. All our sins were laid on Jesus. Jesus bore them on the tree, and the God who knew them laid them on him, that through believing we might be free. Other sheep I have, said the Lord Jesus, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. And they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. Thank God for those missionaries who have gone forth from Bethany Chapel and to other assemblies of the Lord's people, north, east, west, and south, into this great wide world of ours, to carry the good news of a dying Savior's love, a risen Savior's power, and a coming Savior's glory. There lies the heathen world in the blackness of darkness, needing the gospel. Out on the desert, hear their cry. Out on the mountains, wild and high. Hark! The Master speaks to thee, go find my sheep, where'er they be. And so the shepherd started out after that lost sheep. Was it an easy journey? No, indeed. Was it easy for the Lord Jesus to come down from heaven and suffer and bleed and die to save us from our sins? No, it wasn't. We may not know, we cannot tell what pains he had to bear, but this we know, it was for us. Christ hung and suffered there. Yes, that shepherd went out, climbing those rough mountains, his hands and feet bruised by many a stone and by many a thorn bush. But he went on, uphill and down dale, seeking to save that which is lost. Oh, what a more wonderful journey the Lord Jesus took when he came from the heights of glory into a world of sin and darkness and shame, knowing full well that men would despise him and reject him and spit in his face and crucify him and say, we will never have this man to reign over us. And yet in wonderful love he came. We sometimes sing, none of the ransomed ever knew how deep were the waters crossed, or how dark was the night that the Lord passed through ere he found the sheep that was lost. Away in the desert, he heard its cry, sick and helpless and ready to die. The Lord Jesus went through deeper water than that. All the waves and the billows of the judgment of a holy God rolled over his sinless, spotless soul as he hung upon that cross and cried from the depths of his being, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Yes, the Savior suffered and bled and died that we might have life through believing on his name. When blood from a victim must flow, this shepherd by pity was led to stand between us and the foe and willingly die in our stead. Here's the shepherd looking after his sheep. Suddenly a wolf emerges from the woods. What does that shepherd do? Flee? Not he. He stands between the sheep and the wolf. And in the struggle that follows, both the shepherd and the wolf are brought low in death. That's what took place at Calvary. That's what took place at Calvary. The Lord Jesus dealt with that dreadful shame, knowing full well that men would despise him and reject him and spit in his face and crucify him and say, we will never have this man to reign over us. And yet in wonderful love he came. We sometimes sing, none of the ransomed ever knew how deep were the waters crossed, or how dark was the night that the Lord passed through ere he found the sheep that was lost. Away in the desert he heard its cry, sick and helpless and ready to die. The Lord Jesus went through deeper water than that. All the waves and the billows of the judgment of a holy God rolled over his sinless, spotless soul as he hung upon that cross and cry from the depth of his being, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Yes, the Savior suffered and bled and died that we might have life through believing on his name. When blood from a victim must flow, this shepherd by pity was led to stand between us and the foe and willingly die in our stead. Here's a shepherd looking after his sheep. Suddenly a wolf emerges from the woods. What does that shepherd do? Flee? Not he. He stands between the sheep and the wolf. And in the struggle that follows, both the shepherd and the wolf are brought low in death. That's what took place at Calvary. That's what took place at Calvary. The Lord Jesus dealt with that dreadful wolf of sin. But the only way by which he could deal with it and put it away was by the sacrifice of himself. And so on that cross, Christ became a curse for us. As it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth upon a tree, that through the work he accomplished upon that cross, we might have the blessing of salvation. I wonder how many of you girls and boys have ever thanked the Lord Jesus for what he did for you on that cross. I like this picture of the cross. To my mind, it's the most reverent presentation of that dreadful scene. All one perceives is the shadow cast by three crosses. Who hangs upon that central cross? The Lord Jesus. Does he deserve to be on that cross? No. He has no sin. He knew no sin. He did no sin. He could not sin. Then why is he hanging on that cross? He's hanging there because of our sins. The Lord Jesus didn't want us to die in our sins and be banished from his presence forever. And so in wonderful love and grace, he allowed God to put all our sins on him, that he by his death, by the shedding of his precious blood, might make our salvation possible. I wonder how many of you girls and boys have ever said, Lord Jesus, I want to thank thee, poor lost sinner though I am, for loving me so much as to go to that cross, to bear my sins, to take my place, to die for me. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for loving me. Thank you for bearing my sins. Thank you for shedding your precious blood to save a poor sinner like me. And because you love me, and because you gave yourself for me, I'm going to take you as my Savior, and henceforth, you shall be the Lord of my life. You shall be my shepherd. If you've never done that, do it today. Do it tonight. That's what the Lord Jesus wants you to do. Yes? This picture is called The Return from Calvary. Mary, the mother of Jesus, and the other disciples are coming from that dread scene, which is silhouetted against the rays of the setting sun over here. Their hearts are like lead. Their confession was, we thought it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. We thought he was going to sit upon the throne of Israel. We thought he was going to be the king of the Jews. Take the throne of his father David, instead of which they nailed him to a cross. They spat in his face. They despised and rejected him. They crucified him. They put that spear into his side. And the one that we thought was going to be the king died upon a criminal's cross. Ah, but they had forgotten. They had forgotten what the enemies of the Lord Jesus remembered. For the enemies of Christ came to Pilate and said, Sir, we remember this deceiver said, after 3 days I'll rise again. Therefore, put a seal on that stone that guards the mouth of the tomb where his body lies. Put a guard from the temple outside that tomb, lest his disciples come and steal away his body. Pilate said, go and make that tomb as sure as you can. Did that keep the body of the Lord Jesus in that tomb? No, indeed. No, indeed. Up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph o'er his foes. He arose a victor o'er the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. Hallelujah! Christ arose. No, the Son of God is no longer on the cross. He's no longer in the tomb. Where is the Lord Jesus now? He's at the right hand of the Majesty on high, and he'll never die upon the cross again. Christ being raised from the dead dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. Christ the Lord is risen. Victory is won. All the work that saves a sinner has been done. Now through faith in him, God offers full and free pardon, peace, and joy, and glorious liberty. Early that morning, while it was yet dark, some women went to that sepulchre to anoint the body of Jesus with the spices which they brought with them, wondering in their hearts who should roll away the stone. But when they came to the place where Jesus had been buried, they discovered the stone was rolled away. And outside that tomb, there stood two angels. Who of the women shrank back in fear said, "Fear not ye, we know that ye seek Jesus which was crucified. He is not here, he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay." Ah, girls and boys, the Lord Jesus is the greatest man alive. He lives in the power of an endless life, and listen, he still loves you. That same wonderful love that led him all the way to the cross. And the great desire of the heart of the Lord Jesus is that you shall come to know him as your Savior. Own him as your Lord, and then live for his glory in the world that crucified and rejected him. Now let's get back again to that sheep. Remember, before the shepherd can reach that sheep, he has to go through the storm. All that dreadful storm burst in unparalleled fury upon the sinless and undefended head of our divine substitute, who hung upon that cross until all grounds of condemnation against us were forever past. And now, he's risen. There's that sheep. If that sheep could speak in human language, it would say, "What a silly, erring, strange sheep I've been. I've wandered away from that shepherd, and here I am lost. I'm so afraid. I'm afraid of that storm. I'm afraid of that lion. I'm afraid of that wolf. I'm so sick, so hungry, so tired, faint, wounded. Oh, good shepherd, seek me. Seek me, good shepherd. I want to be saved. I want to be saved." Is that what some of you girls and boys are saying in your heart? I hope so. "Jesus, Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by." Did the shepherd hear that cry? Yes, indeed. Out in the desert, he heard its cry, sick and helpless and ready to die. And the shepherd hurried toward where that sheep was. And there he found the sheep that was lost. And what did the shepherd do? Did he scold that sheep? No. Did he beat that sheep? No. Lord Jesus doesn't want to scold you. He doesn't want to beat you. He wants to save you. And so that shepherd stooped down, put his arms around that poor lost sheep. And what did he do? Put it on his shoulders. There's that sheep on the shoulders of the good shepherd. Can that lion hurt that sheep now? No. Can the wolf hurt that sheep? Why, no. How safe is that sheep? Just as safe as a shepherd. "I give unto my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." That sheep is perfectly safe. Say, is that where you are? Where you trust the Lord Jesus as your Savior? Personally? That's where the Lord Jesus will put you. Safe on his shoulders. And he'll guarantee that no one will ever pluck you out of his possession. And as the shepherd neared the homeland, out comes the hireling. And as he looks, he says, "Lord, where are those blood marks all the way that mark out the mountain track? Look, there's blood on the track." "Yes," said the shepherd, "it's my blood. Before I could hold this sheep in my arms, my blood had to be shed for its redemption. This sheep is twice mine. It's mine first of all because, as its creator, I fashioned it. I created it. As its redeemer, I bought it with my precious blood. This sheep is twice mine. I must needs go home by the way of the cross. There's no other way but this. If I would e'er catch sight of the gates of life, then the way of the cross I must not miss, for the way of the cross leads home. It's a blood-sprinkled way." Yes. "Whence are my hands so rent and torn?" "What's the matter with your hands, good shepherd? It looks like as though nails have been driven through them. What's happened?" "Ah," said the shepherd, "before this sheep could be redeemed, become my precious and eternal possession, I was wounded for its transgressions. I was bruised for its iniquities. The chastisement of its peace fell upon me, and with my stripes, this sheep is healed. And up through the mountain thunder riven, and high o'er the rocky steep, there arose a cry to the gates of heaven, 'Rejoice, I have found my sheep.' And the angels echoed around the throne, 'Rejoice, for the Lord brings back his own.'" Oh, the joy, the delight that fills the heart of the good shepherd when some girl or boy or man or woman trusts him as his own personal Savior and owns him as the Lord of his life. Then said our Savior, when the good shepherd brings home that lost sheep, he calls his friends and neighbors together, saying, "Rejoice with me, I have found the sheep that was lost." Likewise, said our Lord Jesus, there's joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repented. Yes, the Lord is my shepherd. Remember, only Christians can truthfully say that. And if you can truthfully say, the Lord is my shepherd, you can also say, I shall not want. I shall not want thirsty. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. I shall not want succor. He restoreth my soul. I shall not want supervision. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness, for his name's sake. I shall not want support. For we are told, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. I shall not want solace, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. I shall not want subsistence or food, for thou preparest a table before me. I shall not want supremacy, for that table is prepared in the presence of mine enemies. I shall not want a sweet savor, for thou anointest my head with oil. I shall not want satisfaction, my cup runneth over. I shall not want security, for goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I shall not want settlement, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. But remember, this is only true of those who can truthfully say, the Lord is my shepherd. Oh, girls and boys, why not tonight? Say to the Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus, I'm just like that lost sheep. I've wandered away. If I die as I am, I'll be lost forever. But I thank thee that thou didst go all the way to Calvary for me. And as a good shepherd, thou didst bear my sins and take my place and die for me. And because thou hast loved me and died for me and risen again, Lord Jesus, I come to you now as a poor sinner, and I take you into my heart to be my Savior. Henceforth, thou shalt be my shepherd, my Lord, my Savior, my friend. God grant it for his name's sake. But still Naaman's wife refused to believe that God could cure a man of his leprosy. And so Miriam told her mistress some stories of this man of God who had performed many wonderful miracles in her land.